of Pridas Thakur. So very, very important day today. We'll speak about Haridas Thakur in class. So first, as is done, or should be done, in all disappearance days, we're going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas. Joe, good to see you again. So, this is written by Narottama Das Thakur.
Yayani lo premadanna karuna pracho.
Oh, yeah.
Acharya Osoteta Satashi Shivad, His Divine Grace Avaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya Namacharya Shidhavidas Thakur Kijaya Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidhavida Gadatha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagopada Sayam Kundradakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavaram Kijaya Jiranam Kijaya Jagannatha Swami Kijaya Yamunamai Kijaya Shimadilasa Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajaya Gaur Premananda Hanuman. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. So read the translation to this poem by Narottamadas Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, so I'm going to Tibidanda sha gananjana shlakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So in honor of his disappearance, we're going to speak a little bit about him, making reference to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 3 and 11. How's that sound? Okay. So I'm going to try to summarize this. In some cases, I'll read the verses, because I have all the verses here. So, what happened is, once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Haridas Thakur, and he actually inquired from him. And of course, the full elaboration of that discussion is in the Hari Nam Chintamani. You understand? So, but this is a shorter version of the whole thing. So, he said, "My dear Haridas, in this age of Kali, people are really degraded. They're yavanas, and they're eating cows and destroying Brahminical culture. So how can these people be delivered?" And Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting his great compassion. He says, "I am experiencing great unhappiness. I do not see any way." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this particular case, is acting as the student, and Haridas Thakur is acting as the professor. The same way Lord Chaitanya encountered Ramananda Roy for the first time. They had that whole discussion. A different type of discussion. Haridas Thakur replied, "Don't be in anxiety. Because the Yavanas are accustomed to saying," of course this is in reference to the Muslims, "haram," which means how horrible for the Muslims when they were attacked by pigs. "They will be very easily delivered." It is like saying, "Oh, my Lord Ramchandra, oh, my Lord Ramchandra." Pretty good, isn't it? And he said, describe what Namabhas is. Because Namabhas means chanting the holy name of the Lord, indicating something else, or jokingly, or derisively, or accidentally. Like sometimes you have Namabhas where the syllables are actually separated by, you know, Ra and Ma are separated by some other word. And then Haridas Thakur talks about two instances of this. That's when the Yavana was attacked by a boar. That means a big pig with tusks on it. And also when Ajamil, even though he was a sinner throughout his whole life, he chanted the name of Narayan at the time of leaving his body. And then the order carriers of Vishnu came and saved him. And he says, this is a quote, "The letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they act even when uttered improperly." And he begins to glorify the holy name. He said, "But if one offenselessly utters the holy name, he can be freed from all the results of sinful life. Even a faint light from the holy name can eradicate all these sinful reactions. Phew. Even the faintest rays, one can attain liberation." Phew. So Lord Chaitanya became very happy when he heard this. But Lord Chaitanya said, there's another problem. On this earth, my glasses. What's the problem? On this earth, there are many other living entities who can't chant. Some moving and some not moving, obviously. We don't find trees and plants and insects chanting Hare Krishna. How can they be delivered? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very compassionate to all living entities. He said, by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, everyone, moving and non-moving, can be delivered. In other words, if you chant really loud, and of course, we have our Brihat Mardanga, which means book distribution. By book distribution, this knowledge can go all over the world, and also by the internet now. The chanting of the Lord's holy names can go all over. And he said the inanimate living entities are actually chanting. Because he said, you may think it's an echo, but it's actually the inanimate living entities chanting. And then he gives the example of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through the Jatakonda forest, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his assistant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And basically, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was scared of all these animals and tigers and whatever was there. And Lord Chaitanya had the tigers and the deer kissing each other and dancing. It would have been amazing to see that. And then Haridas Thakur talks about Vasudev Dutt, who basically prayed to the Lord that he would want to take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities just so they could all go back to Godhead. And then Lord Chaitanya asks another question. We got a problem. If all the living entities leave this material world, there's not going to be anyone left. And Haridas Thakur said, no problem. But then there's living entities in the dormant stage, you know, haven't yet taken a body, who actually will come down and populate the earth again. And then he gives the example. Haridas gives the example that when Lord Ramchandra left this world, he took everybody with him. Of course, not Hanuman. And then he filled the yoga again with other living entities. And then he began to glorify. Haridas Thakur began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, he said when Krishna descended in Vrindavan, he freed all the living entities in the universe at that particular time. Wow. So we're probably in another universe, don't worry. Not that we came free and went back to Godhead. You know, I was probably in the... Yeah, there's so many different universes. Not that Lord Chaitanya is in every universe simultaneously. So, and also he's saying, by descending as an incarnation of the week, you have delivered all the living entities in the universe. So this is the whole discussion. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear this whole discussion. And then, when he met with the devotees later on, he began to speak about Hari Das Thakur's qualities as if Lord Chaitanya had hundreds of mouths. He was actually glorifying his pure devotee. So, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to describe some stories here, that once upon a time, he stayed for a time in a forest named Benapola. And there he constructed a cottage, a solitary forest, planted a tulsi plant, and he was chanting 300,000 rounds a day. 300,000 names, sorry, not rounds. That would have been real hard. So, and then he would beg for food. But unfortunately, in that village near the forest, there was a zamindar, it means a landholder. His name was Ramchandra Khan, and he was very envious of the Vaishnavas. So he was unable to tolerate the respect that Hari Das Thakur was getting, particularly because Hari Das Thakur was from a Muslim family. Actually, it's described that Hari Das Thakur is sometimes described as an incarnation of Lord Brahma, another time as an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. So it's like combined. So you may say, well, how's that possible? Well, sometimes when we talk about incarnations, they're actually empowered by a particular individual. Just like we have, like Prithu Maharaj was empowered, he's in Shaktivesha Avatar, he's empowered by Lord Vishnu, he's not Vishnu Dharma. So in the same way, other personalities can empower others. You know, someone can actually, one time Prabhupada said to a disciple, you're like an incarnation of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, the devotees took that literally and began to worship him. Who are you, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur? But it's not really the case. It wasn't the case, I assure you. So in a way, Ramchandra Khan began to plan for various ways to dishonor Hari Das Thakur. Like sometimes, even in certain countries, the police, they do that, you know, they plant marijuana in someone's house or in the car, and then they arrest them and say, look, you have marijuana, you have some drugs in your house. This is common in certain countries, which I remain nameless. So no one else can find fault in Hari Das Thakur. So Ramchandra Khan called for all the local prostitutes, and he said, there is someone who is very austere, his name is Hari Das Thakur, so you should plan a way to deviate him from his vows of austerity. So among all these prostitutes, there's one young one, a young girl, very attractive. She said, I will attract the mind of Hari Das Thakur within 3 days, don't worry. And Ramchandra Khan said to her, my constable, policeman, will go with you to see, so what happens? And she said, and then the constable will arrest you. Arrest both. Actually, Hari Das Thakur, not both of you. And then the prostitute said, no. I can do this mission. Let me let him fall down once. And the second time, I'll take the constable with me. So just cool it. I'm trying to come. So a prostitute that night dressed herself extremely attractively with all of her ankle bells and jewelry and earrings. You know, they have... ankle bells are actually very important because for those you ladies who are not married... Oh, no, everyone here is married. So anyway, so because they attract the mind... Ting, ting, ting. That's what it's described about Viswamitra Muni. When Menaka came, it was the ankle bells that woke him up. Mm. He heard ting, ting, ting. Anyway, so she went to Hari Das Thakur, the door of his hut, and she offered him obeisances and stood there. And she, like, exposed part of her body. Guess it doesn't work with me. Anyway. she exposed part of her body to view. Like, whatever she did. Sat down on the threshold of the door and spoke to him very sweet words. And this is a quote. My dear Thakur, Oh, great preacher, great devotee. You are so beautifully built, and your youth is just beginning. He was very young at that time. Who was the woman who could control her mind after seeing you? I am eager to be united with you. My mind is greedy for this. And if I don't obtain you, I shall not be able to keep my body and soul together. And Haridas Thakur replied, all right, I agree. I'll accept you. But you have to wait until I finish my japa. Like devotees, sometimes they're chanting their japa and they're saying, finally, I've done my job, now I can do any damn thing. Like some Prabhupada said that, jokingly. Now just sit down and listen to me chant in the meantime, and then I'll fulfill your desire. Then the prostitute stayed there the whole night, and the prostitute got up in the morning, and she informed Ramchandra Khan about the news. He's agreed. Don't worry. He just has to finish his japa first. He promised to enjoy with me. And next night, Haridas Thakur apologized to her, said, please accept my humble apologies. Last night you were disappointed. Excuse my offense. I shall certainly accept you. This is preaching, you know. Bridge preaching, so to speak. Oh, you should not try that type of preaching. You're not qualified to do it. It'd be dangerous. Sit down and hear the mantra, and then I'll finish my japa, and then I'll actually fulfill all your desires. And she offered obeisances to Tulsi plant, which is very important, and sat down, and at the end of the night, she was also chanting, because when you hear the chanting a lot, you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know, just unconsciously she was doing it at that point. But after the night was over, it's described she was restless. Oh my God, I've just waited here 2 nights and nothing's happened. Then he apologized to her. He said, I vowed to chant 10 million names in a month. Taking this vow, but now it's nearing its end. I thought I'd be able to finish my chanting, but I tried my best to chant the holy name all night, but I still couldn't finish. Tomorrow I will surely fulfill my vow, and it will be possible for me to enjoy with you in full freedom. Then she returned to Ramchandra Khan, told Ramchandra Khan what happened. And next night she came earlier, just to make sure that she'd be successful. And she offered obeisances, Tulsi plant again, and then she began to hear the chanting, and she began to personally chant. And Haridas Thakur said, today I'm going to be able to finish my chanting. I shall satisfy all your desires. And he wasn't lying, because only by becoming Krishna conscious can all your desires be satisfied. So the night ended, and the prostitute's mind had changed, and she offered obeisances and confessed that Ramchandra Khan had appointed her to pollute him. And she prayed, feeling very remorseful. I've accepted this sinful life of a prostitute. Please deliver me. Deliver my fallen soul. And Haridas Thakur, he admitted, he said, I knew Ramchandra Khan was doing this. This is a pure devotee. He knows these things. He said, I was planning to leave the place, but I stayed because I wanted to deliver you. That's compassion. Wait a second. Yeah, 3 days to deliver you. Anyway, and then what happened? I should skip to 11. Anyway, so then what happened is that she took initiation from Haridas Thakur, and then Haridas Thakur left the place, and Ramchandra Khan, there's a whole story about Ramchandra Khan, his whole village was decimated because later on Lord Nityananda visited his village, and Lord Nityananda was not accommodated properly. He said to Lord Nityananda, you should reside in the cowshed of a milkman. And therefore, Lord Nityananda said, no, your house is just fit for meat eaters. People kill cows. And later on, the Muslim magistrate or Nawab, he came and in order to collect the taxes, which Ramchandra Khan wasn't paying properly, he decimated the whole village. He cooked meat in the Durga Mandap outside of Ramchandra Khan's house. And he imprisoned the whole family. So Prabhupada comments in the, actually, Krishnas Kaviraj comments in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because of the offense of one person, a whole village becomes destroyed. So one has to be very careful who they associate with. And actually, sometimes if someone's very offensive, you just gotta, boo, head for the hills. And that's what happened with Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami was living at home, very old, being taken care of by his family. But he had a brother who had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but not faith in Lord Nityananda. You remember the story? No, it's in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, that's like half a hen logic. Half a hen in reference to the hen that laid the golden egg. You know that story? Where someone cut him in half to get all the golden eggs and didn't get anything after that. So if you have faith in Lord Chaitanya, not Lord Nityananda, he says it's better to be a complete atheist and don't believe in either of them than to have faith in one and not in the other one. So his brother offended this devotee of Lord Nityananda named Minaketana Ramdas. And Minaketana Ramdas got so offended by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami's brother that he broke his flute, you know, in anger. He's a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. And then what happened is that his brother fell down, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami just left his family at a very old age. He was basically almost not able to see, and he went to Vrindavan, and there he composed the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, he resided on the banks of the Shamakund. You know, there's a Shamakund and Radhakund. His kutir is still there today. The devotees can visit his kutir. Anyway, so that's the problem with offending a great devotee. And of course, later on, what happened with Haridas Thakur, he had a similar test given to him by Mayadevi herself. He was chanting in a cave in the Ganges, and Mayadevi, who is the personification of the material energy, came, and it's described that she exhibited postures that would even bewilder the mind of Lord Brahma. And Haridas Thakur remained just like completely peaceful. And for 3 days, similar story, for 3 days she was listening to the holy name. And then after that, she surrendered to Haridas Thakur and took initiation in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And previously she had been initiated in Sitaram, Raghupati Raga, Ram's holy name, and by Lord Shiva, who was her natural guru. But Haridas Thakur was able to initiate even the personification of the material energy. So those are the stories told in Ancha 3. Now we'll go on to Ancha 11. And this is about the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Okay, we'll go to that. So let's see, we go to where it begins. So the beginning of the chapter describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. So here we start with the story of Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur is passing away. One day, Govinda, the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought Haridas Thakur the remnants of Lord Jagannath, because he was asked to do that by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Haridas was lying on his back and chanting his rounds very, very slowly, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, someone who's very sick. And Govinda said, get up and take your Mahaprasadam. Haridas Thakur said, today I shall observe fasting. I have not finished chanting my regular number of rounds. But how can I eat? How can I neglect prasadam, actually? Because there's a regulated principle. If someone brings you prasadam, you have to eat it. So saying this, he took a little speck of the Mahaprasadam, because that's how you honor it. So you don't have to eat a whole plate of Mahaprasadam. There's no injunction that by eating more Mahaprasadam, you get more mercy. You know, even if you take a tulsi leaf, you get the same amount of mercy. So, actually, it's stated in Prabhupada's purport that if a devotee is not able to complete his rounds, it's understood he's in a diseased condition of spiritual life. So with Haridas Thakur, he wasn't in a diseased condition of spiritual life. He was actually old. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya went to Haridas Thakur and said, Haridas, how are you feeling? Are you well? And Haridas offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, my body's all right, but my mind and intelligence are not. In other words, he was being humble. He didn't just say, I'm getting old, you know, have some mercy upon me. Can't chant my rounds anymore. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, can you ascertain what your disease is? And Haridas Thakur replied, my disease is I can't finish my rounds. Wow. He didn't say, you know, I'm old, I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, I'm nauseous. You know, we have so many excuses. And the Lord said to him, isn't it? I mean, so many excuses. You know, I'm hungry, I had to eat. And so Haridas Thakur said, that's my problem. You know, in other words, it's my mind and my intelligence are polluted. He was so humble like this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you're very old now. You can reduce the number of rounds you chant. You're already liberated. Therefore, you don't need to follow the regulative principles so strictly. So you've already exhibited your pastimes and your role in this particular incarnation to deliver the people in general. You've preached the glories of the holy name all over the world. Therefore, reduce the number of times you chant Hare Krishna. And Haridas Thakur said, actually, I do have a request. Hear my real plea. I was born in a low family, and my body is most abominable. I always engage in low work. Of course, he never engaged in low work. I'm the lowest, most condemned of men. And he said, I am unseeable and untouchable, but you've accepted me as your servant. I'm reading directly here. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition, raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. My dear Lord, you are the fully independent personality of Godhead. You can act by your own free will. You can cause the whole world to dance and act as you like. My dear Lord, by your mercy, you have made me dance in many ways. For example, I was offered the Shraddha Patra, which should have been offered to first-class brahmanas. I ate from it even though I was born in a family of meat eaters. So, of course, this is how the Shraddha, but in Sanskrit it's called Shraddha. The Shraddha is done in the Vedic system. You offer the prasadam, not meat, to the first-class brahmana, whoever is the topmost brahmana. He said, I have one desire. I think it is quite soon, my Lord, you will bring to a close your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you do not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. So in other words, he loved Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much he didn't want to see the final pastimes of the Lord, the departure of the Lord. He couldn't bear to live in the world if Lord Chaitanya was not there. And there's something that happened in a similar fashion to one of my godbrothers. His name was Jayananda, who's quite famous, that he said to Prabhupada, or he prayed to Prabhupada, I don't want to be here if you're not here anymore. So he prayed, and as a result, he got leukemia. And he got that leukemia, and he left this world shortly before Srila Prabhupada. And, of course, he was the originator of Ratha Yatras in the Western world. Of course, Prabhupada is the real originator, but he was the one who actually was instrumental on behalf of Srila Prabhupada in establishing Ratha Yatras. So similar desire he had. So, of course, we don't want my disciples doing that. They have to stay around, please. So he said, with my tongue, I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make this perfection possible. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, Krishna is so merciful, he must execute whatever you want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. it is not fitting for you to go away and leave me behind. Catching the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, "My Lord, do not create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show me this mercy. My Lord, there are many respectable personalities, millions of devotees, who are fit to sit on my head. They are all helpful in your pastimes. My Lord, if an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, where is the loss to the material world? My Lord, you are always affectionate to your devotees. I am just an imitation devotee. But nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, went to see Lord Jagannath, and after he saw Lord Jagannath, he would return to see Haridas Thakur. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and left to see Lord Jagannath. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to see Haridas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "Haridas, what is the news?" And Haridas replied, "My Lord, whatever mercy you could bestow upon me." Upon hearing this, Lord Chaitanya began to do congregational chanting with all of his devotees. And he had this devotee, Vrikeshwara Pandit, who was such a fantastic dancer, he could dance for 72 hours without stopping. He danced in the courtyard. And all the devotees surrounded Haridas Thakur. That is Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Dasvarup Damodara Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Haridas Thakur before he left the body. And it seemed, it's described that Lord Chaitanya had five mouths in which he was describing Haridas Thakur. Then Haridas Thakur made Lord Chaitanya sit down in front of him. Sit down. And then he fixed his two eyes, which were like two bumblebees, on the lotus face of the Lord. Wow. At the same time, he held the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his heart. Wow. Can you imagine that? That he was looking at Lord Chaitanya's face. You can just picture it. And he was holding the feet. I guess Lord Chaitanya was sitting. The feet were sticking out. And he was holding the feet on his heart. And then took the dust of the feet of Lord, of all the devotees there, and put it on his head. Wow. He began to chant, "Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya." And tears glided down on his face. And then he gave up his air of life and left the body. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that was like Grandfather Bhishma leaving his body at will. And they all had an ecstatic kirtan. Lord Chaitanya raised the body of Haridas Thakur, placed it on his lap, and he began to dance with the body in the courtyard. Wow. That's Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, dancing with the body of his devotee. And all the devotees were helpless in ecstatic love. They all began to dance and chant congregationally. And then Swarup Damodara Goswami informed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about all the rituals that had to be done for the body, and the body was put onto a carrier, means a palanquin, that resembled like an airship, taken to the sea, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the whole procession, and he bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and declared, "From this day forward, this sea is a great pilgrimage site." And then everyone drank the water that touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. Then they dug a hole in the sand, and the body of Haridas Thakur was placed in it, remnants from Lord Jagannath, such as a silken cloth, a ropes, sandalwood pulp, and food and cloth were placed on the body. It's amazing. Now, normally, only sannyasis are interred in the earth, and everyone else is actually cremated, but because Haridas Thakur was a great pure devotee, they buried his body. Devotees began chanting and dancing, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body with sand, chanting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol." And they had a big kirtan around the pit in which the body was buried. And it's described, the whole universe became filled with the vibration of chanting. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees went bathing in the sea and playing in the water in great jubilation. So, in other words, the departure of a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava, is actually a glorious occasion. At the same time, we are lamenting losing that Vaishnava's association, but it's actually glorious. He's going back to Godhead. Amazing. So they circumambulated the tomb. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Singhadwara gate and began to beg prasadam from all the shopkeepers there for the festival. So all the shopkeepers came forward with giant baskets of prasadam, which they delivered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped them, and the shopkeepers returned. And then he sent, Swarup Damodar Goswami sent people to collect the prasadam. And he said, deliver to me 4 palmfuls of prasadam from each and every item. And all the prasadam was delivered. And Vaninath Patanayak and Kashi Mishra sent large quantities of prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit down and rose. And he personally began to distribute the prasadam, assisted by 4 other men. It's interesting. That's the way of distributing prasadam. When people sit in rows, you know, sometimes in our temples nowadays, people want to become more sophisticated and have tables, you know, round tables, and think that they're, let us say, sophisticated ladies and gentlemen. But Lord Chaitanya would go in rows and distribute it like that. I remember in the early days. How do you take prasadam here?
We set up the table and then let the people come with the plates and then we just sit, and then just go and sit down.
You sit down, but you know, well, how do you serve seconds?
They come back.
They come back to the table.
So, anyway, I remember in the early days, we would sit on the floor, like Vaishnavas. And the plates would be put out there and the server would come by with the buckets and put out a... Actually, that's a nice system. But nowadays, people are very sophisticated. So, Lord Chaitanya, as described, was not accustomed to taking prasadam in small quantities. So he had 5 times the amount that an ordinary person could eat, put on each plate. As he was distributing the prasadam. And Swarup Damodar said, you sit down, take prasadam, and I'll arrange for the distribution. And it's described that all the devotees would not eat prasadam until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had eaten. So, also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got an invitation for the evening meal from Kashi Mishra. And he said, well, in the evening I'll eat like that. So, in other words, Lord Chaitanya really enjoyed taking a lot of prasadam. And when everyone was filled up to the neck, it's described, Lord Chaitanya said, give them more, give them more. You know, when they said, no more, Lord Chaitanya insisted, give them more. Then after that, Lord Chaitanya decorated each of them with a flower garland and sandalwood pulp. And then Lord Chaitanya offered a benediction to all the devotees who had participated in this festival. He says, anyone who has seen the festival of Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasadam, will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya said, being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Then Lord Chaitanya told everyone, say all glories to Haridas Thakur and chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he began to dance. Everyone began to chant all glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said goodbye to the devotees, and it's described here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had mixed feelings of happiness and distress. You know, happiness that Haridas Thakur had achieved the ultimate destination, and distress that he was bereft of the association of Haridas Thakur. It says, anyone, and the benediction at the end of this chapter given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is, anyone who hears this narration will certainly fix his mind firmly in the devotional service of Krishna. Let's see, and then there's more description here at the end of the chapter. So, any questions about Haridas Thakur?
So, when he was Lord Brahma, empowered by Lord Brahma, I heard that it was because he was so repentant about offending Krishna that he came and he was chanting so much.
Well, there's one story that's told sometimes, and I don't know where the reference is, so I have to preface my statement by that, that when Lord Brahma committed the offense of stealing the coward boys and calves, he had to be born as a Malecha in Kali Yuga. Now, I don't know where the reference is. I've heard it several times before. Maybe someone knows the reference to that. But
it's in the Parikma book, not the
Parikma. I know Parikma, but I'm talking about reference. Parikma book, you'll find so many like stories that this happened this here, this happened there, but you know, where's the Shastric reference? Someone like Vrindavan Das Thakur or Krishnadas Kaviraj, that's what I would accept. You know, so I don't Parikma book, you know, basically we don't know. Like one time, one of the big Parikrama people in Vrindavan was asked, how do you know that this happened? Not talking about Haridas Thakur, but another pastime. How do you know that this happened here? He says, I just heard it from the villagers. So we have to be careful about that. Has to be reference Shastra before we can say, for certainty. So therefore, if I don't know something for certain, I will preface my statement by that. You know, I will say, I don't know for sure, and I don't know the Shastric reference. That's important. As devotees, we have to be able to, like lawyers, Prabhupada said, a lawyer has to be able to quote the law. Like if he says to the judge, you know, this is illegal. And the judge says, you know, what law is that? He says, well, it just feels illegal. I know it. This doesn't feel right to me, you know. So Krishna consciousness should not be like that, you know, something feels right or feels wrong. The realizations, yes, we can have bona fide realizations, but we have to back them up by Shastric quotes, or at least statements by the Acharyas which are as good as Shastra. Any other questions?
Guru yes. Maharaji,
what? Yes.
Like what I am going through now, like I've lost my younger brother's son.
Shh.
So, as an elder,
uncle,
what would be my responsibility towards?
And you're probably the only devotee in the family, right?
Myself, my whole family is a devotee.
Oh, they're devotees?
No, not there.
Not them, that's what I mean.
Not them,
they're Christians. No.
Oh, they're Christians?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, on the anniversary of his departure, you can do some shraddha ceremony for him. That's what I would do.
Sponsor the feast of the temple.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the best thing, yeah, sponsor the feast of the temple. I mean, you don't have to go through the whole thing, like changing the Brahmin threads, you know, hiring a Brahmin, because they're pretty expensive in Kali Yuga. You know, it's not something. No discounts. So I would just like to sponsor the feast in his honor. That's what Prabhupada recommended. Like, do some devotional service in his honor.
Thank you.
That's usually the best way to take care of someone who has passed away. Mm. Do some service and sponsor some books being distributed, like Krishna Chandra, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's also very auspicious. You know, one pays... There's one particular day coming up. What's that day called?
Bhadra Purnima.
Bhadra Purnima.
That's tomorrow.
So let's distribute some books tomorrow. Anyway, are there any devotees that we're visiting that don't have sets of Bhagavatam tomorrow?
Need to check.
Yeah, so whosoever house we go, I'm sure Nimananda has a set.
Yeah, he has
But whosoever house we go to, we should ask them if they have a Bhagavatam set.
Prema Gopi.
And sell it to them.
Prema Gopi.
Prema Gopi, okay, we sell them a Bhagavatam set. No, give. No, we have to distribute. They have to, it's the reciprocation, too. Prabhupada really didn't want us giving books.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it. You know, it's a reciprocation because they get more benefit.
Mm.
How much is that?
500.
500, okay. So we're going to distribute books tomorrow and go back to Godhead. So so you can sponsor books being distributed. That's another thing.
I can.
That's actually very auspicious.
What about cooking? Because there is sutta, you can't cook in the house.
You can't cook? Yeah, I know you can't cook in the house. Well, the family can't cook. But not, I wouldn't say you don't extend the family too far like that.
Mm. He's our immediate family. Can we cook?
Yeah, you can cook here. I mean, you're not the parents or anything like that.
Okay.
You know, the parents or the wife, I mean, I'd say they can't cook.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take, like, the whole family, I mean, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cook.
Otherwise, like at home, if something happened, then all my husband's family, like the brothers only, not the sisters, the brothers, they don't cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
rituals.
Ranganath can't cook. But, you know, I think in this case it's all right. I mean, you're serving the Vaishnavas too, you know.
Mm.
And if I were to go away hungry, it wouldn't be such a good idea.
Because I'm
cooking dinner.
I know. It's a service to the Vaishnavas on behalf of the departed soul.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're doing favor to
Yeah, you do. You're doing a favor. You're cooking. I think it's all right because it generally should just be the nuclear family.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, go too much extending like
just
that.
Just the house out there.
What?
Just the house.
The house, yeah.
Yeah.
The person's house.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't extend it to, you know, all the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and the brothers, you know.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's generally just the house.
Mm.
So, okay. Any other questions? Oh, Joe, you had a question.
I was thinking about the humility you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
and how that was really genuine.
Yeah.
So if we're not at that stage where our humility is
genuine
in our activities, should we practice that humility or should we
It's hard to practice then actually we become more proud if we practice humility externally.
Because
then we begin to think, I am really humble. I'm practicing nicely. There's a certain type of practice. I mean, not that the practice should be the verbalization, but the practice should be we should start to serve others. That's the proper practice. But if the practice means, you know, I just say, oh, I'm so fallen, I'm such a rascal. Prabhupada said to one devotee who said, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You know, because at least we want to be the most fallen person. We want some prominence, at least, even if it means the greatest rascal. Like Ramana wanted to be the greatest rascal. So the practice should be we start serving others, and then humility arises in the heart. And we can pray to Krishna, take some humble service that's difficult, like
washing
the toilets or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I joined the movement, one of the first services they gave me was washing the toilets. Nowadays, did they hire people to do that in the temple? Or?
No, the devotees
do it. The devotees do it, that's nice.
Nitai temple. Sometimes
Kala does it.
He has done it.
Yeah.
I remember, like, one time it was before the Sunday feast in the Dallas temple, and I went to use the washroom, as you say, we say bathroom. You sometimes say toilet. Anyway, so whatever it is, I went into that room, and I found the temple president cleaning it, and that was Sesrup Maharaj, and he was cleaning. I said, "Don't do it. I'll do it." But he was very humble. I still was humble, but anyway, he was very humble, and I remember this that instance to today because I was impressed by that that humility, and it taught me a lot. So, I mean, that's how you can become humble or cultivate humility by seeing others who are humble. Who are, like Prabhupada, when he first came to America, he was cooking rotis for everybody else. He was standing in line to use the bathroom. You know, they made him stand behind like 3 or 4 or 5 other people to use the bathroom. That's real humility. And all these young people, they were so, let's say, callous. To the point that he was an older gentleman, and they were making him wait. But Prabhupada didn't say anything. Prabhupada was extremely humble. Anyway, and then also consider ourselves just servants of a servant, servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis of Vrindavan, Gopi Bharata, Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasanu Dasa. And if we don't cultivate that humility voluntarily, Krishna will help us cultivate it involuntarily. We may get smashed. That happens. So anyway, that's how. But I don't think it should be done artificially. I don't think we should say, you know, I just, oh, I'm a fallen rascal. I am a humble servant to the devotees. And that's why I'm so great. I'm the most humble. And one devotee said to me once, he said, I only made one mistake my whole life. What was the mistake? I thought I had made a mistake. You know, he's joking, obviously. I mean, obviously, I can fall into that trap. But half joking. Okay, any other questions?
I just recollect another instruction you gave us in your earlier visit. Do not think low of yourself, but think of yourself low.
So no. I said, don't think less of yourself, but think of yourself less.
Yes.
Use the word less instead of low.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I said, don't think less of yourself, but think of yourself less. That's humility. Because, you know, so people who are depressed are extremely self-centered because they're thinking of themselves. Now, that's not to criticize someone who has that psychological problem, but I'm just saying they're thinking more of themselves. Oh, I'm useless, hopeless, life is hopeless. But if you think of others, then you're not depressed. As soon as you start to think of others, then the depression goes away. Okay.
It was quite similar to this question from Gurudev.
Yeah.
The thing is, we either think like, I am this or I am that.
Yeah.
But the I factor is always all through our life. Why is it so? How do we just get rid of this?
No, don't get rid of the I factor. I am a servant of Krishna.
Mm.
You get rid of the I factor, you're my body.
Mm.
You know, they say, you hear this all the time. We got to get rid of the ego. Isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, he's really egoless. But we say get rid of the false ego. The real ego is a servant of Krishna. So if you want to say I, that's fine. I am a servant of Krishna. Just like we were talking about yesterday at the initiation, you know. Dog colors. That's a dog color. Bow wow. So, you know, that we have to consider ourselves like, that's my identity. You have to have an I. You don't give up the ego. You give up the false ego. You have the real ego. You substitute. I am a servant of Krishna. This is my identity. Servant of my Krishna, Krishna, my spiritual master. And then you automatically, the false ego disappears at that point. I would say, you know, I and mine are the two divisions of the false ego consciousness in this world. So instead of I, you say, I am a servant. Instead of mine, it belongs to Krishna. Someone has to own it. You can't just say, like I gave the example yesterday of artificial or falgu vairagya, you know, just a false renunciation. Saying, you know, I renounce this book. That's false renunciation. No, this book belongs to Krishna and to be used for Krishna's service. Or instead of saying, it's mine. Like that.
Yukta vairagya.
Yes, yukta vairagya. I remember in the early days of the movement, I was the only one in the temple with a tape recorder. And sannyasi came up to me. I was just a brahmachari, just a humble, submissive, pure soul. Anyway, and a sannyasi came up to me and he said, can I have your tape recorder? And without a thought, I just said, nothing is mine. You can have it. I was very renounced. See, I was very pure in those days. Anyways, and I gave my only possession in this world. See? And because of that, here I am today. So, anyways, like Lord Ram was asked for by Goswamitra Muni. And, of course, Dasarath had some objections to that. He didn't. He wasn't like me, who gave it up immediately. I'm just joking. So any other questions? Comments, questions? We have a big schedule today, right? Uh-oh. What?
When you're talking about the word haram and they say rama the other way around, mara, and you know the devotee, some devotees quite new who've come along, they have a cat called Tiny, a little cat. They have a little cat called Tiny.
Yeah, Tiny, and, is that a spiritual name?
Yeah, they call out, Tiny, 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 Tiny.
Tiny, 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 Tiny. That's good, yeah. We have a devotee who goes out in Sankirtan as a clown, and she calls herself Neat Tie.
Neat Tie.
You know, Neat Tie.
Yeah.
And she sings a song about, she says, my name is Neat Tie, and I have a friend named Gauranga. And then I have another disciple in the UK. I don't think anyone here has ever met her. Her name is Manohari Radha. And she is like a Gauranga girl. Not girl, I mean, she's old. Not that old, in case you're watching. So she goes around and gets everyone to say Gauranga. She goes up to the Babis, that means policemen, there, and she says, say Gauranga. And I'm shocked. I've been with her sometimes, and, you know, walking down the street, and she just, like, approaches everybody. She's a social worker. And then everybody who comes, her clients, anyone who comes has to say the magic word, Gauranga. And then she has these bumper stickers. You know what a bumper sticker is? It's a Gauranga, chant Gauranga. And she gives them out to everybody. And she's originally was trained up in Scotland, where they had this Gauranga fanatic procedure. The devotees would go out in the middle of the night. Maybe I told this story before. Mm-hmm. They go out in the middle of the night and hang these giant banners from the bridges and paste them on. Did I talk about that before? Yeah. Paste them on the bridges. Gauranga. So everyone, after a while, began to think that the bridge company was named Gauranga.
Built by Gauranga.
And you know, the devotees would hang upside down from the bridges, pasting it. Yeah. They would use the, I guess there's this type of paste you can make from flour. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? You can make paste from flour. And when you were kids, you used to do that.
For the kites, you used to make kites using their...
Yeah. And so they would take the, you know, big brushes and brush on the bridge, and giant banners as wide as this room of Gauranga, and put it everywhere. And sometimes the police would catch them. And they one time they... caught them and got ready to put them in the paddy wagon. You know what a paddy wagon is? Mm-hmm. It's a British expression. In the police wagon. And the police got a call on the radio that we got in trouble. There's another bridge someone's jumping off of. And so they left the, let the devotees go, and they went to the other bridge, and they found it was other devotees. And the devotees hanging upside down. They thought they were jumping off, but they were hanging upside down, you know, pasting it. So the Scottish devotees had that particular training. It's quite funny. Okay, on that happy note, we got a lot to do today. All glorious to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. That clock is fast. Okay, gang. Here we go. Jive.